Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
I had the honor of coming when we opened this building just 3 years ago, is it? And I know that the Lord said that this is a house of breakthrough. God's put a breaker anointing upon this couple. God's put a breaker anointing on each and every one of you that are a part of this ministry. And I believe that we are in a breakthrough season in this nation. How many can sense the breakthrough? How many sense that heaviness is coming off? How many sense hope starting to rise in the land again? Amen? And I want to just help you to understand this concept of breakthrough so that we can release a breakthrough sound, because God responds to sound. When they came to Jericho, he told them march around for 7 days and then release a sound. And that sound released a breakthrough. And so we're going to release a breakthrough. But here's the definition of this word breakthrough. It is a military movement or advance. How many understand that we're the family of God, but we're also the army of God? Amen? And it is a military movement or advance all the way through and beyond the enemy's frontline defense. Everybody say through and beyond. It is the overcoming of every obstacle, barrier, and hindrance to progress. How many believe that God wants to bring the obstacles down? He wants to break through the barriers. Come on. He wants to begin to cause us to go through. Everybody say through and beyond. Now, one of the best examples of breakthrough was back in World War II, and it was on D-Day. This was a time when the Allied troops came to the beaches of Normandy, and at great cost and great cost of personal life, they came and they took the beaches of Normandy, breaking through the enemy's frontline defense. Okay? But you have to understand that was a day of breakthrough, but at that moment, they did not put their weapons in the sand and stop and have a party. See, the church has been pretty good at breaking through. We've been terrible at going beyond. Can I just say that? We've been terrible at going beyond. Because, see, in World War II, the objective was not to take the beach. The objective was to liberate cities and nations. Amen? The objective for us was not just to win an election, but our objective is to turn a nation back to God. Amen? We've got to understand this is one of the most critical, crucial times that we've ever been alive. Come on, there is a tipping point moment that we are in right now in the church, a tipping point moment that God wants to bring us into. So individually, we've got to understand that my breakthrough has got to go through and beyond my own personal breakthrough and start resulting in breakthrough for others as well. When you get healed, now you get to start laying hands on others so they get healed. When you get delivered, you start getting to bring deliverance to others. Come on, when God transforms your life, you get to be a minister of transformation everywhere you go. Come on, I am challenging you that individually and corporately, it is time to go through and beyond. Amen? Because there's a state that God wants to turn back to God. This state is so important with what God is getting ready to do. And this morning, as we were in worship, I really felt like the Lord said that there's a connection, and I haven't had time to do any research on this, but the Lord said that there's a connection in this state to like what happened at the Hebrides revival. And so I just real quickly Googled and saw where the Hebrides was. And you know, it's interesting because in the UK, it sits way up in the northwest corner of the UK. And the Hebrides revival broke out in the late 40s and early 50s, and it began to release a revival that swept over that land and touched the nations. How many can believe from this upper room up here in Alaska, God can actually do something that begins to just sweep over the lower 49, begin to sweep into the nations, begin to affect and wreck Canada, begin to turn Canada around? Come on, how many believe that this is an appointed time for Alaska? Amen? I believe that we're going to come into an amazing time and just something, we're going to release a breakthrough shout. But I think it's very interesting when the Lord starts speaking to me about the connection up here with this Hebrides revival. I'm reminded, you know, the Hebrides revival was prayed in by these two elderly women, an 84 and an 82-year-old woman. Their names were the Smith sisters. And they would pray deep into the night, and then they challenged the church to pray. This is a house of prayer. This is a house that has been contending for revival. This is a house that's really cried out to God. And eventually a revival moved in and it began to sweep over the land. You know what's so interesting for this point in time is that I'm reminded that one of those Smith sisters was Donald Trump's great aunt. Did you know that? They prayed in revival. And this year, when Donald Trump was being inaugurated, when he was being sworn in, the Smith sisters' Bible was there on the day of an inauguration. I believe we're coming into a very critical season in this time. And I feel like the Lord's saying, I need my people to get a vision for breakthrough. I need my people to get an expectation for breakthrough, to go through and beyond anything that we've ever seen possible. I want us to lift up our hands. I want us to lift up our voice. I want us to give a shout of praise to God, a shout that begins to rock the heavens with breakthrough on the count of three. One, two, three. Breakthrough! Come on, shout unto God with a voice of triumph, with a voice of breakthrough. Woo! Now just lift your hands up all over this place, for I heard the Lord saying to Kings, you've contended for revival. You've cried out for revival. You have contended for revival. You've been a house of prayer for revival. The Lord says, but I'm going to give you more than revival. The Lord says that I'm going to visit you, not just with revival, but I'm going to visit you with awakening, says the Lord. I'm going to visit you with an awakening that's going to touch not just this city, not just this state, that's not going to touch just this region, but it's going to literally touch even the very nations of the earth. And the Spirit of the Lord says that you've cried out for revival, but what's going to happen in this place is that I'm going to cause Kings to be one of the epicenters for something that history will call the Great Alaskan Awakening. The Great Alaskan Awakening. And it's going to reverberate out from here, wave after wave. It's going to hit the north. It's going to hit Fairbanks. It's going to hit Barrow. It's going to hit the North Pole. It's going to hit Anchorage. It's going to hit the west. It's going to hit the east. It's going to go over into Canada. It's going to go down into the lower 48. And Hawaii is going to be swept in to this great awakening. Nations of the earth are going to come and say, I've got to begin to drink from this well. I've got to begin to drink from this outpouring. For the Lord says that you're not going to be satisfied with just a revival that comes, that wins some souls. The Lord says, I'm talking about winning cities. I'm talking about winning a state. I'm talking about turning a nation back to God. And the Lord says it's going to sweep in. It's going to bring a youth revival that's going to disrupt classes. It's going to disrupt your college campuses, says God. And where there have been even negative kinds of protests, there's going to be outpourings. There's going to be visitation on college campuses. And kids that have been just struggling, kids that have been in turmoil, are going to be instantaneously delivered of addiction. They're going to be instantaneously delivered of bitterness. They're going to be instantaneously delivered of woke mindsets, says the Lord, because I'm going to sweep in with transformation, says God. Your children are going to be visited by the Holy Spirit. Your children are going to start having prophetic dreams, prophetic visions. They're going to start saying, Mom, I see an angel. And you better believe them, says the Lord. The Lord says that I'm going to encounter them by my Holy Spirit. Oh, get ready, Kings. Get ready, Alaska, because your children are getting ready to be rocked by the Spirit of God. Your kids are getting ready to be transformed in such a radical way, says the Lord, that you're not even going to understand what happened to them. The Lord says the business leaders are going to be visited with the spirit of innovation. Businessmen, businesswomen are going to begin to get creative ideas, are going to begin to get creative strategies, are going to get prophetic words from God, and even spiritual dreams that are going to launch them into a whole new season of blessing and prosperity. The Lord says, I'm going to visit your governmental leaders. I'm going to visit visit mayors. I'm going to visit your senators. I'm going to visit your House of Representatives. I'm going to visit your governor, says the Spirit of God. The Lord says, get ready, because just like I visited Nebuchadnezzar and gave him prophetic dreams, your righteous and your unrighteous leaders are going to start to get visited by the Spirit of God in dreams that is going to reveal destiny to them, purpose to them, and cause their crooked places to be made straight, so that they can cause the state's crooked places to be made straight. The Lord says, are you ready for this, church? Are you ready for this, church? Because I'm going to need you to rise up and pray. I'm going to need you to engage in this battle, because there is a battle of contending over this state. For the enemy tried to make it a state of rebels and misfits. But I want to make it a state of reformers and miracle workers, says God. A state of reformers and miracle workers. Are you ready, Alaska? I'm getting ready to blow your mind. I'm getting ready to uncover hidden things. I'm getting ready to uncover hidden gems. I'm getting ready to uncover resources. The Lord says, your oil is a spiritual symbol of what I'm going to do in this state. For I'm going to pour oil out on this state. Not just natural oil that will shift the economy, but I'm going to pour spiritual oil out on this state that is going to cause even a massive deliverance over this state. For the anointing destroys the yoke. I see this huge pitcher of oil that God's just pouring over the state. Come on, God's pouring. Just lift your hands up right now. Father, we thank you, God, that your anointing destroys the yoke. And there's a yoke-destroying anointing that is coming down on Alaska, reversing the curse, reversing what the enemy had put in motion. I thank you, Father, that this is going to be the season of shift for Alaska in Jesus' name. If you believe that, I want you to shout to the Lord. Yes. A season of breakthrough. Amen. You can be seated. Listen, one of the things that the Lord said to me for Kings is that he's going to keep his promise and pay off this building. Y'all need to be more excited than that. And I heard the Lord say that he's given your pastors really big vision, but the Lord says, I have a bigger vision than they have. And I just kind of heard God puffing out his chest and saying, I outdreamed your pastor. You know when in Joshua chapter 10, when they were fighting with the five Amorite kings, and it said that God threw hailstones down from heaven. It actually says, and God killed more than Joshua killed. It's like God made sure that got put into the Bible. Like God was like, make sure you record that I killed more than Joshua killed. Well, God's saying, make sure that you record that I'm out dreaming your pastors. But God's also saying, I'm giving them permission to dream even bigger dreams. So if you've been stretched in your dreaming capacity, get ready, because you're going to get stretched even more. How many are willing to get out of your comfortability zone of dreams? Listen, I heard somebody say one time, how can you possibly succeed beyond your wildest dreams until you start dreaming wild dreams? You are sitting in a building that is the result of a wild dream. And God says, I'm going to go exceedingly above and beyond. Because when this awakening happens, when this great Alaskan awakening happens, this house is going to have to multiply. There's going to have to be more facilities. There's going to have to be more leaders, more pastors, more people that have an ability to steward and disciple. How many are saying, I'm willing to be a part of that company that are going to be mothers and fathers in this next great move? If that's you, I want you just actually jump to your feet. I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you, Lord, for these that are saying, God, I want to be a part of this. Some of you even just brand new born again. I'm telling you, God's going to use you to bring in the harvest. God's going to use you to set captives free. God's going to use you to bring deliverance. Father, I thank you, Lord, that mothers and fathers are standing up all over this place that are saying, we're willing to be those that are going to carry the responsibility of discipling and carrying forth this great revival. So, Father, as they are standing, God, in obedience, Lord, we thank you, God, that you're putting a mantle of equipping upon them, that they're going to be equipped. They're going to be trained. They're going to be made ready. They're going to be prepared, Father, so that as this great awakening begins to pour out, God, they're going to be in position and be able to run with everything that you're doing in Jesus' name. Just clap your hands to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, At the beginning of December, we started really praying into what God wanted to do in this season of time. And the Lord spoke two things to me. He said, I'm bringing my church into a golden age of awakening, revival, and reformation. Now, some of you may not be familiar with this term, awakening. Let me help you to understand it just a little bit, okay? When the second great awakening came, a man named Charles Finney started preaching the gospel in New York City. He got born again, started preaching the gospel. He started preaching all over upstate New York, Ohio, all in that region. And there were actually records of him going into cities or towns that, as best as they could tell, only about 5% of the population was born again. But within a few weeks, over 95% of the population was born again. Can we believe that God can actually sweep in by His Spirit and begin to cause an awakening where entire cities, entire villages, entire towns all get saved in the matter of weeks? Come on, guys. I want you to start elevating your expectation. Because if God did it then, He'll do it again. And He said this. He said, revival changes the heart of a man, but an awakening changes the heart of a nation. And I believe that we are in a critical hour of seeing this nation turn back to God. So the Lord said, this is going to be a golden age. How many have heard President Trump say it's a golden age? Well, he's thinking about it in one way. God's saying, I'm going to bring a golden age of revival, of awakening, and of reformation that is coming forth. You know, the night that he won the election, we have some friends that were there at Mar-a-Lago with him. And they said to him, wow, this is really a comeback for you, and it's really a comeback for the nation. And President Trump turned to that man and he said, not just that, it's a comeback for the church. Come on. I don't know how much he understands a lot of this spiritual stuff, but those words came out of his mouth, and I believe that's a decree. Now, not only did God say it's a golden age for awakening and revival, but God also said it's a renaissance of righteousness. A renaissance of righteousness. So God gives me these words, and I go in and I try to figure out what this word renaissance has to do with us today. And I began to study the renaissance period. The word renaissance actually means rebirth. It actually means reawakening. It means revival, and it comes from a French word which actually means to be born again. How many believe that God wants us all to be born again? How many believe God wants this nation to be born again? And so in this Renaissance period that lasted from the 1400s to the 1600s, it was a time when they began to throw off the heaviness of a corrupt government. Back in those days, the Holy Roman Empire ruled over the whole Western world, and they were very oppressive and very corrupt in their leadership. And God came in and began to move in the earth, and they began to throw off the oppression, and they began to dream again. They began to have visions again. They began to create again. They began to innovate again during this time. The first Renaissance was known as the Enlightenment. I believe this second Renaissance is going to be known as the Awakening. Not only did they throw off corrupt government, but they also threw off dead religion. Because until that time, the Roman Catholic Church was the only real expression of Christianity in all of Europe. And at that point, they started throwing off the corruption and the oppression of dead religion, and they began to press past what religion said, and they began to question a lot of things. We actually saw, in when you study that period of time, you actually saw that they were in a cultural decline. They were in a morality decline. They were in a time of decline of cultures, decline of civilization. But when the Enlightenment came, they cast off the corrupt, and they began to question what had always been. And in doing so, it actually caused a rise of what they called skepticism. How many know there's a lot of skepticism out in the world today? But I want you to understand that it was that very questioning, that very skepticism that ended up leading people into what is known as the Protestant Reformation. How many here are Protestants? How many here are Catholics? Yeah, that's kind of two choices, all right? Some of y'all are like, I don't know what. You know what the root word of Protestant is? It's protesters. How many here are protesting against dead religion? Come on, how many are protesting against corruption? How many are protesting against sin? So you see, when Martin Luther rose up, he nailed 95 complaints, 95 theses to the door of the Wittenberg Church, and he made this radical statement. He said, the just shall live by faith. How many here believe the just shall live by faith? How many believe we're not saved by works? We're saved by grace through faith. Come on, even that is not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. How many are so grateful for our salvation? But do you realize that by declaring the just shall live by faith, the Catholic Church put a hit out on that man? Because he said, we don't need dead religion anymore. We need a living relationship with Jesus. How many are glad we can have a living relationship with Jesus? So what we have to understand is that that skepticism actually led to a reformation, and it led us to the first great awakening that changed nations. This nation actually was formed because of the first great awakening. Because it empowered them, it emboldened them to say, you know what? We're going to cast off the corruption of this heavy-handed British Empire, and we are going to come into a place of our own freedom. So the first great awakening that swept through this land actually formed the foundation of this nation. And so I think that it's a very critical season for us to understand this, to understand what God is doing, because I believe we are going to see in the coming days a rebirth of America. We're going to see a rebirth of this land of the free and the home of the brave. We're going to see a rebirth even of the spiritual identity that this nation had. We had a president a couple times ago that said America is not a Christian nation. But I just want to say to you that this nation was founded on the principles and the precepts of Christianity. One of our church fathers said, we are not founding this nation to form it as a nation of religionists. We are founding it on Christianity and on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this nation will be a beacon to the nations of the earth where we preach the gospel on every shore. How many believe that that's still the calling of the United States of America? I don't care what somebody said. I don't care how far we've drifted. God is saying, it's time to see a nation turn back to God. Renaissance. A rebirth. Now, I had a dream December the 30th, and I just want to relate it to you. Before I do that, let me just say this. I'm experiencing this in my own family. My testimony is I was raised by my parents, wonderful people, amazing man and woman, took good care of us, but they were agnostic scientists. They did not raise us to know the Lord. As far as I can tell, I am the first believer on either side of my family line. As far back as we can look, there's no believers, no Christians, as far back as we can look. When I was 5 years old, I had a little friend that I played with in my neighborhood. And one weekend, he got sick and died of a virus. And it was devastating. And I didn't know what to do with all my grief. My family is very stoic, very unemotional. And so I didn't know what to do with all the emotions I was feeling. Well, back then, there was a program on television called The Flying Nun. How many here remember The Flying Nun? Okay, all the people that raised your hand, you're the old people in the room, okay? It was a program about, Sally Fields played this little nun that wore the Catholic nun's habit. She always got herself into all kinds of trouble. And then usually at some point in the program, she would fly. Very hokey. Her little habit would like flap in the wind. But also on every program, she would go in when she was in trouble. She would get on her knees. She would fold her hands. She would look up to the cross. And she would tell Jesus all her problems. And somehow, miraculously, before the end of the 30-minute program, Jesus had solved all her problems. So that was my point of reference for prayer. So Sally Fields was my spiritual mentor. She'd probably be thrilled to know that, okay? So when I'm dealing with all this emotion, I went into my room, I got down on my knees. I folded my hands like I saw her do. I looked up at my ceiling because there was no cross in the house. And I began to tell Jesus what I was feeling. This guy named Jesus. I didn't know who he was. I just started telling him what I was feeling. And the presence of God came down in my room. And I felt this warmth. I felt like arms went around me and just held me. And it marked me for the rest of my life. Guys, this Christianity that we're walking, it's not up here. It's not here. It's here. God wants to encounter you. He wants to touch you. He wants to be real to you. And if you're not experiencing that, he's giving you an invitation to say, I want to make this real to you. I want to make Jesus real to you in every aspect of your life. And so it felt so wonderful, and I felt the grief lift off of me. So it felt so great, I just kept coming back every night. I'd come back into my room. I had three brothers. So the blessing of having three brothers is, number one, they made me really tough. Number two, I got my own room. So I'd go in my room, close the door, I'd get down on my knees, I'd fold my hands, and then I would just wait, and the presence of God would come. Come on, guys, I didn't even know who Jesus was. I didn't even understand the plan of salvation, but God was meeting with me. God wants to meet with you. God wants to encounter you. God wants to change your life. He wants to mark you. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. God wants to meet with you. And so throughout my upbringing, throughout my time, it was a private time. I never shared it with my family because my family mocked people that were, quote unquote, religious. They did. They mocked them. And so when I was 8 years old, I spent the night with a friend. Her mother taught me to pray the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven. I brought the prayer home. I took a notebook and I began to develop a prayer life out of that prayer. Jesus said, this is how you pray. He taught me how to pray out of that prayer. When I was 10 years old, I found a family Bible. Now, what a family Bible is, at least for our family, because we didn't have Bibles in my family, but they were these 20-pound Bibles that came with a set of encyclopedias. Do you guys remember those? Okay, those that are under 30, encyclopedias is like Google in books, okay? And everybody had an encyclopedia. Did y'all have encyclopedias in your house? Okay. And they always came with this ginormous Bible. And I found it, and it was old King James, these and thous and everything. And I hauled it off to my room, and I started reading it. Well, where do you start when you read a book? At the beginning. So I read Genesis. It was exciting. I read Exodus. Very cool. 10 plagues, parting the Red Sea. Awesome. Then I got to Leviticus. And I thought, I must have missed something. I don't understand this book at all. So I just started skipping forward, and I found this awesome book called the Book of Psalms, which we're going to read out of today. And I started memorizing Psalms. Now, I'm not even saved, but I'm memorizing Psalms. I'm memorizing the prayers of David. Listen, if you're trying to build your prayer life, go to the Book of Psalms. The Psalms will build you. I love what Pastor Karen shared this morning. The book of Psalms will Psalms 23, Psalms 25, Psalms 91. These were some of my favorite, Psalms 100. These were some of my favorite Psalms before I was saved, and I would quote them every single night because God was teaching me through his word. Listen, I didn't even get saved till I was 14. I got filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 16, but God had his hand on my life. I'm telling you that in the midst of this whole process, I was praying for my family. I started praying for my family the day I got saved. I've been saved now 49 years. I got it right since this morning, 49 years. And for almost 5 decades, I've interceded for my family. About the halfway mark, 25 years ago, my parents got saved. My scientific parents got saved. Amen? They had encounters with God. But I have three brothers, and I've witnessed to them all this time. And every time I've witnessed to them, they tap me on the arm and they go, that's okay, Jane. They just shut me down. They didn't want to hear it. That's okay, Jane. No, we're good. They just didn't want to hear it. Until about the last 6 months, the last year or so. Because what's happened is that all the skepticism that's in society right now, all the questioning of medical advice, the government, the media, come on, all of a sudden they were like, well, we don't really believe what the media is telling us. In case y'all haven't Learn this. Don't believe everything the media tells you. Suddenly they didn't trust the government. My brother's in the medical field. Suddenly he didn't trust medical protocols. All this skepticism rising. And you know what that ended up doing? All of a sudden they were saying, well, this was wrong, this was wrong, this was wrong. Maybe what I believed about God my whole life has been wrong too. So now my brother is seeking God. My brother's listening to hour after hour of sermons, apologetic sermons, talking about the truth of the scripture and the truth of who God is. My sister-in-law is now going to a spirit-filled Bible study. She's been born again. My nephew, we led him to the Lord. He's bringing his brother to church. Guys, we got full-blown revival happening in my family after 50 years of praying. Let me say to you, maybe you've been praying for your family, but this is the time that God is saying, I am opening up blind eyes. I am opening up hearts that have been closed. I'm beginning to bring breakthrough into your families. I'm going to begin to bring prodigals home, says God. The Lord says, begin to pray the prayers again and watch and see how I begin to bring your family members in. Come on, if you're praying for family members, jump to your feet. Jump to your feet. Father, I thank you, God, that all these represent family members. Just yell their names out. Yell their names out right now. Right where you're standing, yell their names out because heaven's listening. God, I thank you that it's a time of turnaround. It's a time of deliverance. It's a time of awakening, God. We thank you, God, that you're turning people around. You're turning families back to God. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the testimonies that are going to be heard here in this house over the next several years. In Jesus' mighty name, give the Lord another shout. Amen. You can be seated. Let me tell you this dream. I dreamed it on December 30th. I saw this land that was dark. The way that I described it when I wrote it was dark, devastated, and smoldering. Like great devastation had swept through. But through the middle of this land was a golden pathway. It was like this beautiful golden path. I started thinking today, you know, that a golden pathway actually led a lot of people to come to the state of, I almost said the nation of Alaska, the state of Alaska, the state of Alaska. How many know that there was a golden pathway that led a lot of people here? But I saw this golden pathway in the midst of this dark, devastated land. Jesus was walking on this pathway, and there were righteous people kind of coming up behind him on this pathway, and we were joining him on this amazing path. And then the righteous people started pulling people up onto the pathway, and they were dirty, and they were disheveled, and they were depressed, and just so sorrowful. And the second that we pulled them onto the pathway, it was like an immediate transformation happened. And I just really felt like the Lord said, this is a new day. This is a day of awakening. There's a new path forward. I'm cutting a new path forward for my people. I'm bringing a new path forward of righteousness. I'm bringing a new path forward of this renaissance, this rebirth that God is beginning to bring. And it's really a pathway of grace. The Lord says, get ready to watch your family members get completely rocked by the Spirit of God. Massive, massive, massive numbers of souls are going to be saved in this great Alaskan awakening. It's not just going to be a spiritual revival for those of us that are saved. It's going to be massive souls saved, massive miracles, signs, wonders, deliverance, freedom, all this beginning to come forth, and instantaneous transformation, instantaneous deliverance from addiction, instantaneous deliverance from porn and all these lifestyle things that have been holding people in captivity. I'm telling you guys, we're getting ready to come into the greatest day. I've been a Christian almost 50 years, and I'm so anticipation, in such anticipation for what God's getting ready to do. Now, the Lord said to me that what this was going to bring us into was three things. Number one, revolution. We're in a season of revolution. Now, I know that what that word kind of conjures in your mind, but let me give you the definition of it. It is to bring a radical and pervasive change in society and the social structure. Isn't that what we're believing for? A radical and pervasive change in society and the social structure. Isn't that what we're praying for? It is one that often occurs suddenly and is often accompanied by violence. How many understand that this is the time that we've got to contend? We are at war. Amen? We're at war. There's a spiritual battle that's being fought. We are in a spiritual revolution. But don't let the word violence scare you, because Matthew 11 verse 12 says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. The NIV says it this way: the kingdom of heaven is forcefully advancing and forceful men lay hold of it. Come on, we're going to lay hold of the kingdom in this season of time. We're going to contend and we're going to win. Now, when I began to study out revolution, I was really struck by the fact that this year, 2025, is the 250th anniversary of the American Revolution. 250 years. And during that time, we were casting off oppression, oppression of corrupt government. We were casting things off that were trying to keep us from being what God had called us to be. And so I believe that God is saying, I'm breaking a cycle. I'm breaking cycles of tyranny. I'm breaking cycles of corruption. I'm bringing an uncovering. Listen, I don't know about you, but turning on the news every day is like watching a sporting event. Come on. Somebody said at the sporting event is the Patriots versus the Steelers. Okay. We'll think about that. Okay. But it really is. It's an exciting time because God is uncovering corruption. And this is what happened in a revolution during the birth of our nation. We have to understand that there's a rebirth of our nation that's taking place. I also believe that it's very interesting when you study the last 250 years that there's been a cycle of 80 years of war. Started with the Revolutionary War, from the end of the Revolutionary War to the end of the Civil War was 80 years. From the end of the Civil War to the end of World War II was 80 years. Each time, these were very significant times of change that brought in a whole new era. Guess what the 80th year is? It's 2025. And the enemy has worked overtime for the last several years to try to drive the nations of the earth into a third world war. Is this true? Trying to stir up war on every hand. And what the enemy would like nothing more to do is to get us into a third world war. But God is saying that is not his will. That is not his plan. But he's looking for people that are revolutionaries that will stand up and say, we are going to war a warfare. We are going to battle in the spirit. We are going to turn back what the enemy's plans are, because God's plan is for the greatest revival the world has ever seen. God's plan is for the greatest awakening that this world has ever seen. God's plan is for more souls saved, more bodies healed, more families transformed, cities and nations coming to God. That is what God is looking for. A mighty revolution. You say, well, what are we battling? I think the battle's really in four areas. Number one, it's a war over worship. In this worship war, what every nation is having to determine is who or what is being worshiped. In Marxist countries, they worship the government because the government says there's no need for religion. The government will take care of you. The government will protect you. The government will provide for you. They worship the government. In communism and humanism, they worship man. Man has all the solutions. How many have figured out man does not have all the solutions? And today in America, we've got a different religion. It's called wokeism. It's got doctrine. It's a doctrine of chaos. Chaos, we know, we see in Genesis 1:1, we see this word that says that in the beginning the earth was without form and void. That literally, without form and void, is the word chaos. And what chaos tries to do is recreate a world that is without form and void. Listen to the doctrine of wokeism. They come in and they don't even want to call a baby in the womb a baby. They want to reduce it down to something that's without form and void. They call it tissue. They call it a fetus, which, by the way, means little person, so they should have done their homework. But they don't want to call it a baby. Why? Because they want to reduce it to something without form and void. They don't want to say we're created male and female. They want to reduce it down to there's 67,000 genders. Why? Because he wants to create chaos. They want to destroy the understanding of a nuclear family. They want to reduce it down to something that's without form and void. How many understand that there should be a mom and a dad? Now, you may be a single parent. I'm not trying to bring condemnation on you for that. But how many know God's order is the order? And order always begins to subdue chaos. The other thing that subdues chaos is when you prophetically begin to speak what God says. God said, let there be light. Let there be life. And chaos was dispelled. Come on, you have the power to prophesy. I want you to lift both your hands. Father, I thank you, God, that in this worship war, God, that we are going to prophesy life and light, life and light, life and light. God, we're going to let the word of the Lord come out of our lips. And Isaiah 30, 31 says, the voice of the Lord shatters the enemy. The voice of the Lord shatters the enemy. I want you to say, I will prophesy. Because as that prophetic word comes out of your mouth, it shatters chaos. It's a worship war. Number two, it's a war on power structures. That's why we pray for a president. That's why we pray for governors and senators and house. Because guess what? That's where the battle is. It's on the power structures. Who is setting the agenda? Come on, that's why we got to pray. We just can't hope that they do a good job. This is where the church has failed to break through. We elect somebody to office locally or in the state or in the nation, and we go, yay, we got somebody good in there. Do the job. And we abandon them. Let's not do that this time. Let's stay engaged in the war over power structures. Number three, the war over the supply lines. How many understand all that DOGE is doing right now is uncovering the corruption of money? There's not a lack of money. It's just, where's the money going? Who's controlling the money? Who's controlling the money? Well, I tell you what, the enemy wants to control your supply lines. He wants to cut off the provision so that you can't do your vision. And God is saying, this is the time I want to open up the supply lines. I want to open up your faith. I want to open up your expectation. I want to open up the supply lines so that there's full provision for your vision. Listen, if somebody came to you and they said, I will give you every bit of money for whatever vision you have, what would happen to your vision? Pastor Daniel, Pastor Karen, their vision would go through the roof if you realized that money wasn't an issue. I'm prophetically speaking to you today, money is not an issue. Come on. Quit putting limitations on the vision of God because of what you see in your bank account. God's saying, I'm opening up support. Amen? Number four is it's a voice war. Who controls the narrative? It's about the media. And there's a lot of fighting, a lot of struggle. But guess what? God's wanting our voice to begin to be the prevailing voice. We've got authority. That's why God says in Psalms 82:10, he says, open your mouth with a mighty decree. I will fulfill it now. You'll see. The words that you speak, so shall it be. Some of you are waiting on God when God is waiting for you to open your mouth and start making some decrees. There's a voice war. The enemy wants to shut things down. God says, I want to open it up. Listen, in this time of revolution, God is looking for revolutionary heroes. People like Patrick Henry, people like George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Paul Revere, heroes that would rise up in the midst of the greatest times of conflict. And God is saying, I have put in Kings, Alaska, a group of heroes, a group of revolutionaries, a group of people that are willing to break out and break through, a group of people that are willing to say, I'm counting my life but lost like Esther did. If I perish, I perish. I've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. If that's you, if you want to be a hero, I want you to jump to your feet. God wants to speak over you today. Just lift your hands up. Just pray in the spirit with me for just a minute. See, I heard the Lord say that the enemy has sown the wind, but he's getting ready to reap the whirlwind. Come on, even here in Alaska, the enemy sowed the wind here in Alaska, but he's getting ready to reap the whirlwind. Come on, God is getting ready to fight for Alaska to make crooked places straight. Father, we decree right now, God, that that you're raising up these heroes. The Lord says, will you be one of my heroes? Will you be one of the men and women that display unusual bravery in the midst of conflict, in the midst of contending, in the midst of spiritual warfare? If you will step up and raise the banner, then I will move in a supernatural way and I will show myself strong on your behalf. The Lord says, you are culture shapers. You are world changers. You are those that I want to use as my ecclesia to begin to speak into the heavens and speak into the earth, to forbid and to allow. The Lord says, where are my people that will rise up out of their comfort zone? Where are my Daniels? Where are my Gideons? Where are my Davids? Where are my Esthers? Where are my Deborahs, says God? Where are my Abigails that are saying, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Use me. Use me to bring change. Use me to radically bring change. Use me to be a hero that shifts things for future generations. I hear the Lord saying, this isn't just about your generation. We got to get over being so short-sighted and thinking this is all about us. This is about our children. Wokeism is going after our children. Wokeism is going after our grandchildren. And the Spirit of the Lord says, enough is enough. Come on, say it with me. Enough is enough. Say it again. Enough is enough. When you recognize that this is a counter-religion to the truth of the gospel, then it's going to stir something inside of you that says, enough is enough. I am fed up with the works of darkness. I am fed up with what the enemy's doing. And I'm going to contend and I'm going to engage, knowing greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. You can be seated for just a second. Now, the other two words the Lord gave me, and I'm not going to really preach these, but one of them is the word resolution. What is resolution? Resolution means to solve a problem. You know, the story about the golden path, the path that I saw through the destruction. Scripture says, you know, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. And that the word path in Hebrew is a word that means to roll or to revolve. And literally it is the picture of a path that is cut by the wheel of a wagon continuously rolling over that path, this revolving of the wheel. And when I read that in the Hebrew, I understood that one of the things the Lord is saying is that he wants to destroy cycles, bloodline cycles, failure cycles, addictive cycles, whatever the enemy's doing to bring you into a destructive habit pattern. If you feel like there's been some patterns that you want to see destroyed this year, God's saying, I am rising up on your behalf and I am breaking the old cycle and I'm setting out a new pathway. If you recognize you need a new pathway, I want you just to jump to your feet real quick. This goes along with resolution because God is saying, I'm going to give you a problem-solving anointing. I'm going to resolve some long-standing issues. If you need long-standing issues resolved, you need to be on your feet right now because God's saying, I'm breaking you out of that place where you've been stuck in a rut, and he's bringing you into a whole new place of being able to dream big dreams. Amen? Come on, just lift your hands up. And the other definition of this word resolution is to be able to have a clarity of picture. You know, if the resolution is higher, then you have a clearer picture. How many are believing for greater discernment? How many are believing for greater prophetic revelation? Come on, we're at the Power Conference now. God wants to give you a new mantle of revelation that's going to bring resolution. So lift your hands. Father, we thank you, God, that you are breaking, you are a curse-breaking God. Lord, and you have put on the inside of each one of us a curse-breaking, yoke-destroying anointing. God, we activate that right now. God, a curse-breaking, yoke-destroying, cycle-breaking spirit right now, God. You are breaking generational curses. You are breaking bloodline curses. You are breaking cycles of failure, cycles of destruction, cycles of addiction, cycles of depression. Oh, some of you have been dealing with depression. We break depression off right now. We break grief off right now. We break those cycles. It's almost been an annual cycle for some of you. An annual cycle of depression. God says, I'm breaking it right now. right here in the middle of the winter months, I'm breaking your cycle of depression and you'll never go back. Come on, say, I'll never go back. And Father, I just pray for a mantle of revelation upon each and every one. A fresh mantle of revelation. God, that's going to bring resolution in Jesus' mighty name. If you receive that right now, just put your hands on your eyes. Lord, you said in Revelation chapter 3 that we are to anoint our eyes with eye salve so that we can see. Lord, forgive us for not seeing as clearly as we've needed to see in past seasons. But God, bring us to a new elevation of prophetic perspective, prophetic discernment, so we can clearly see in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. You guys can be seated. Hey, listen, I want to prophesy to Bruno and to Pastor Bruno and his pretty bride. Father, we just thank you right now, God. Lord, this man is a prophetic strategist, and I believe that he is going to bring prophetic resolution to the body of Christ. You're going to bring prophetic resolution to many, many people with answers, with solutions, with prophetic insight. And the Lord says to you both that even in Chile, the Lord says that there has been a resisting force and you feel like you're making progress, and then all of a sudden it's like something hits you and the bottom drops out again and you're rebuilding again. The Lord says, I am breaking a cycle and I am giving you key spiritual insight that is breaking the lid of limitation off of your churches, off of the finances, and off of that cap that seems to be on the supernatural and the miraculous. The Lord says that old religion in the land, not just the Catholic religion, but the religion that goes back even further, that's so partnered in with the witchcraft of the land. The Lord says, I'm going to give you some very keen strategies to show you how to break out and break through into a whole new season of growth, into a whole new season of increase, into a whole new season of maturity. And the Lord says that you're going to find I'm bringing you into a time of multiplication, says the Lord. And I'm multiplying your influence within your nation and within Latin America. And the Lord says it's going to be very necessary for you to take the necessary time to sit and write the books. All right, have you written any books yet? The Lord says it's time to write the books, because what you are discovering spiritually are keys and answers that are going to set nations free. The Lord says, sit down and write the books, write the strategies. As you put it into the hands of others, it's going to set cities and nations free. Stretch your hands out towards this man and woman. Father, we thank you, God, for a new season of prophetic strategy, God, that's coming upon them, a new season of discernment, a new season of release. We decree it now in Jesus' name. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. All right. I know I've kept you a little bit over time. We're going to do the very last word. It is the word restitution. Restitution. You know what restitution is? It's payback. How many feel like the enemy's robbed some things from you in this last season? It's robbed from our nation, robbed from our families. God says enough is enough. And I believe that we're in such a key season in the body of Christ and such a key season in this nation that God is saying, I need my people to rise up and start taking back what the enemy stole. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 31 says, if you catch a thief, he's got to restore sevenfold. Come on, it's not just getting through something and surviving. God's saying, I'm shifting my people out of survival into revival. I'm shifting my people out of just surviving something into a place where whenever the enemy hits me, he's got to pay back sevenfold. Come on, Exodus 22, 7 says, if you catch a thief, he's got to restore double. I'm so passionate about this. I actually wrote a book. I have it out at the book table. It's called Confronting the Thief. And the subtitle is Take Back What the Enemy Stole and Declare Divine Recovery Over Your Heart, Your Life, Your Family, Your City, Your Nation. Guys, it is just time to be fed up with the enemy stealing from us. Enough is enough. Say it. Enough is enough. And so, Father, we thank you, God, that you're leading us into a time of restoration. One of my scriptures for this year comes out of Joel 2:25 for 2025. And it's the scripture that says, I will restore to you. Come on, are you starting to remember now the things that the enemy has stolen from you? Let me just tell you something. You don't have to forgive the enemy. You don't have to forgive the devil. I know that was shocking to some of you. You have to forgive people, but you don't have to forgive the devil. You can demand the devil pay you back. I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts, the chewing locusts, the crawling locusts have eaten up. I will restore to you the years that the enemy ate up your health, ate up your joy, ate up your vision, ate up your family, ate up your finances. God says, I'm going to restore. You're going to eat in plenty and be satisfied, and my people will never be put to shame. God's declaring to your pastors, they're never going to be put to shame. They're going to believe wilder. They're going to believe bigger. They're going to believe stronger, and they're never going to be put to shame. They can't out-dream God. They'll never be put to shame. This house will never be put to shame. I will restore. I will restore. Now, there's another word for restore back in Leviticus, that book, my favorite book. And it says this. It says, if you catch a thief that's stolen your cattle, he's got to restore 5 cows for every cow he stole. And that word restore is the word shalom. Have I taught you this before? Shalom. Shalom, or probably shalom. It's the root word of shalom. But I'm from the South and we say shalom because it rhymes with bam. Bam, shalom. You know what shalom means? It means I will restore more than before and I will restore better than before. Let me say it again. I'll restore more than before and I'll restore better than before. My husband was reading it one day and it says, if somebody steals your lamb, they've got to restore 7 lambs. And my husband said, that's what I call a shalam-a-lamb. Now you see what I live with. You'll pray for me more. How many believe God's got a shalam season for you? How many believe God's got a shalam season for Kings? You survived the building of this building, but the enemy owes you. He owes you pain and suffering, restitution, a reaping of the spoils. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 25, story of Jehoshaphat being surrounded by his enemies. They send the praisers out. This is a praising church. This is a praying church. They send the praisers out. God causes the spirit of contention to fall in the camp of the enemy. They turn on each other and destroy each other. 2025, they go in, they gather all the spoils. The Lord says, this is going to be a year of gathering spoils. This is going to be a year that God is shifting you out of a mentality of battling to survive and shifting you into a season of battling to possess. How many know there's a whole different mentality when you're battling to possess, when you're battling to take ground? So this morning, as I pray for you to shalom, to be shalomed, say, God, shalom me. We're going to take a shalom offering. Because you know what? An offering activates things. That's why we sow seed, because it activates truths inside of us. So I want you to all put the giving screen up. Ushers, if you'll come and bring the offering envelopes. We're going to take a shalom offering because this is a season of awakening. This is a season of renaissance, revolution. It's a time of resolution and restitution. Don't be surprised if God also throws in a little bit of retribution against the enemy. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But the enemy has to pay. The enemy has to pay. And it's my heart to see him pay in souls, to see him pay in deliverance, to see him pay in giving up his kingdom in the earth. How many understand that's what we're called to do, to push back the very gates of hell? So we're going to take a shalom offering. And when we do this, we're going to make some decrees. We're going to make some decrees together. I understand that in the first service, my decrees that I read were different than the decrees you were seeing. So we're going to do this in conjunction together. We're going to make a decree. So as soon as you have your offerings ready, I want you to stand to your feet. I know you're still preparing. That's okay. I want you to be prepared. Because I believe that when we give, when we sow like this, it's significant in the realm of the spirit. And your seed becomes a weapon of war in this revolution to push back the gates of hell and to push back what the enemy has tried to do over your life. So we're going to make this decree together. I know that you need the giving screen, so we're going to keep the giving screen up for just a moment. Why do we decree? Because Job 22, Verse 28 says this, you, say me, you shall decree a thing and it will be established for you. How many are believing that God's going to establish some things this year? You shall decree a thing. It will be established for you. So light will shine on your way. God's breaking you out of darkness today as we make this decree. Are you guys ready to give? Let's make this decree. Oh, lift your offering up. We're going to read this together. All right. Decree this with me. We decree, I will make Jesus the true Lord of my life in every area this year. Because he has already overcome, I will overcome in every challenge. I will watch and pray this year. I will walk the glorious path of righteousness and lead others to Christ. I will live in the golden age of awakening and experience the glory of God in a new dimension. I will be a hero, a Holy Ghost warrior in God's time of holy revolution. I will be brave and strong. I will experience new solutions for advancement as I live in God's time of resolution. My eyes are anointed with eye salve, so I will see more clearly this year with greater revelation and greater spiritual perspective. This year will be my time of restitution as I pursue, overtake, and recover all. This will be my year of taking back all the enemy stole, breaking through and going beyond in my destiny, purpose, and calling. My family will thrive. My health will spring forth speedily. My heart will live in peace without fear or anxiety. 2025 will be my best year yet. Now shout the word Shalom. Now we're going to make this decree over Kings. Lift your offering again. We decree, so read it with me. We decree this will be a breakthrough year of growth and increase for Kings, Alaska. We will be an epicenter for a great Alaskan awakening. We will see a multiplication of souls saved, healings and miracles, freedom and deliverance, and committed members joining the church. We will see an increase in quality leaders arise who will help steward new growth and make disciples. There will be a youth revolution that will rock the schools, sweeping whole families into the kingdom. There will be a Holy Spirit outpouring on the military bases that will set a new course. Intercessors and watchmen will arise to take their place on the wall and decree awakening. We will see an increase in kingdom finances, both for individuals, families, and the house of the Lord to accomplish God's vision. We will see this building debt-free in the next several years. This will be a miraculous season of favor and expansion in every area. This will be Kings, Alaska's best year yet. Shout the word Shalom! 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 In Jesus' mighty name.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.